Hi, this is Michael. This is No Michael here. We're going to talk about nonviolent communication today. We're going to talk about making requests. We're going to talk about being bulletproof. It's the title that I gave to this thing. Requests, nonviolent communication. So in NVC, you've got observations, you've got feelings, you've got needs, and you've got requests. Okay, now we live in a society where requests are not, sometimes you're not allowed to make requests. If you make a request, if you ask somebody to do something, in order to satisfy your needs, that's why you make requests. I gotta remind myself that I have to speak in basic terms because people who listen to me, they're not necessarily experts on nonviolent communication. I'm not an expert on it. I don't like to repeat myself, but I'm gonna repeat myself. I'm gonna try to repeat myself. I'm gonna try to say things I've already said before because. Repetition is where that's where learning comes from. The more times you experience something, the more opportunities you have for it to stick. So we're going to repeat ourselves over and over and over again. Nonviolent communication comes from Marshall Rosenberg. There's a book, Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life. I think that's what it's called. That book is, I love that book. It has all kinds of exercises. It breaks things down in a way that's just really straightforward. And there's I love the way he talks about things, okay? Because it's NVC is a deeply transformative spiritual practice. It's difficult. It's not something you learn quickly. It's something that takes a long time to master. I learned about it about 3 years ago. A little less than 3 years ago. 2019. And I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still practicing it. It's hard to practice because you have to rewire everything about the way that you talk. You can't just talk normally. Now, here's the thing. Yeah, you can talk normally because at the end of the day, you have to talk normally. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to talk like a robot your whole life? But the thing is, you got to renegotiate it. It's like you're learning a new language. So you have to do that. You have to learn a new language. You have to try things out. You have to experiment. You have to say things and see what happens. A request is when you ask for something, something that you want, something that you think is going to make life more wonderful for you, something that's going to satisfy one of your needs. That's what a request is. This is how you go through life. It's like how you negotiate things with other people. Anytime you want something, like you have to ask for it. Like, how else are you going to get it? You can just sit there and you can just expect people to give it to you. You can just blame them, shame them, accuse them, try to guilt trip them, whatever, when they don't give it to you. You try to manipulate them into doing that. Try to put fear into them to make them do it. Try to make them feel bad about themselves. Try to make them repent. Those are the conventional ways of trying to get people to do things. You say, well, you ought to do this. You should do this. And people will think about it like, yeah, I really should do that. And then they do it out of obligation. But that's not good. Why do you want people doing things out of obligation? Like, why, you don't want that. I mean, think about the consequences of that. People are doing things out of obligation. Like, what does that feel like when you feel obligated to do something? People don't like doing things out of obligation. They like doing things because it's fun to do things. They like doing things for other people because it brings joy to their lives. When you do something, it's like, this is fun. Like, I have this gift for you. This thing, like, I know you like cookies. I know you like cookies, so I'm going to give you cookies. That's like fun. The way I think of it, it's like, you play Tetris. It's like this. This game, you get these blocks that fall down on the screen, and they're like, you have to put them into the. They have to, like, you have to make them into uniform rows. And so like the blocks fall down and they have to like there's a certain spot. You have to like move the block around so that it goes into the spot that it fits in. And when it fits into that spot, like you get this feeling of satisfaction from it. It's like putting a key into a lock. You get this feeling of satisfaction. I mean, video games take advantage of this all the time. Like Candy Crush, oh my God, I got addicted to Candy Crush a couple years ago. Because my girlfriend was playing Candy Crush all the time. And so I was like, show me Candy Crush. And so she taught me how to play Candy Crush, sitting over my shoulder, correcting me every time I did something wrong. It was so obnoxious. but I got addicted to it. And just like these little pieces of candy, they're like, you know, I don't know, you know, if you've ever played it, like, it's like there's so much like animation, these things moving around, they're like exploding and shattering and like psh, psh. It's a lot of fun, you know, there's music and sound effects. It's so colorful and shiny. And it's like it's so satisfying, you know, it's so satisfying when you get it, you get things to work right. You know, you get everything to fit into the spot that it's supposed to fit into. It's kind of like Tetris. It's not quite the same. Tetris, you know, Candy Crush is a funny game. Like, I don't know how much skill is required in it. I sort of feel like I'm playing a slot machine sometimes. I haven't played it in a little while. But there's that feeling of satisfaction when you do this action and you get something to work right. Like, it goes into the slot that it's supposed to go into. You get this satisfying feeling. That's what it's like when you do something for somebody else and that, like, you can see, like, they like the thing, and so you do it, and so they're happy. It's like putting a block right into the spot that it goes into. That is intrinsically satisfying and intrinsically motivating. And so nonviolent communication is saying, well, why can't that be the way that relationships work? Why can't that be how it is that people interact with each other? Like, why does it have to be based on guilt and shame, right and wrong? You know, so Marshall Rosenberg says there's two games that you can play. You can play the game of who's right, or you can play the game of make life wonderful. So if you're playing the game of who's right, it's like it's not as much fun because you're sitting there trying to figure out, am I right? Am I wrong? Who's right? Who's wrong? It's like it's based on fear because you don't want to be the wrong one. You want to be the right one. So you got to figure out, like, am I right or wrong? You got to look at other people and label them right or wrong. You know, and it's a zero-sum game. So there has to be a winner and a loser. If I'm right, that means you're wrong. If you're right, that means I'm wrong. We can't both be right. We can't both be wrong, especially if we're in opposition to each other, if we want different things, if we put out different strategies, different requests. That's not going to work. Can't both be right. Okay, but in NVC, we don't look at it that way. It's like a win-win. You know, you want it to be win-win. We both win. Both of us win. So whatever it is, like, it works. Doesn't matter. There's no sense of anybody losing. No sense of anybody missing out. Everybody wins. Everybody gets what they need. That's how it works. That's how it works in NVC. So the way that you get what you need is you make a request. You have to ask for what you need. You have to ask for that thing. You know, we live in a society where we teach people that you're not supposed to make requests. It's just not allowed. You can't just say, oh, this is what I want. Because it's considered presumptuous. You know, people might think, well, you're doing, you know, you're making a demand. You know, there's a demand and there's a request. So if I say to you, you know, would you be willing to do the dishes? You might say, why do I have to do the dishes? I always do the dishes. Why can't you ever do the dishes? Why do you always expect me to do everything around here? Okay, well, so that means that you heard it as a demand. You didn't hear it as a request. Okay. Like, that's your choice to hear it that way. Fine. No problem. Now, I'm in a tough spot now. If I made that request to you, if I said to you, ask you to do the dishes, and you came back with that, you heard it as some guilt trip, some kind of demand. Now it's like, okay, I'm afraid. Okay, because, like, what just happened? Like, I was asking you to do the dishes because maybe I wanted the dishes done. And now I have to deal with, you're now angry. And you have this, you think that I am doing something here. You think that I'm doing something that I'm maybe not doing. So what? What do I do with that? Where do I go with that? If you want something, you have to ask for it. You have to be persistent. You have to continue asking for it if you want it. You know, if somebody hears your request as a demand, you have to empathize with that, you know, because why do people hear requests as demands? Like, why can't you just hear it? Why can't you just hear it as, like, this is something I want. Oh, I'm hungry. You know, why you hear that as a demand? Why? You know, people who hear requests as demands have a history of people using guilt trips on them to manipulate them. So they're hypervigilant. They hear those requests as demands. They grew up in a family where you were not allowed to ask questions. You were not allowed to make a request. You know, request was considered presumptuous. It was considered, if you made a request, you know, because people had to obey requests. So if you didn't obey a request, then that means that there's something, you're doing something aggressive. So in that kind of culture, a request is something dangerous. You don't want to make requests lightly. But see, there's another way to look at it. You could look at it just like, well, a request is something, it's just, I'm letting you know what would make my life wonderful. I'm letting you know what something you could do for me. Like I'm helping you understand what my needs are. Because it's based on the idea that like you're playing a video game, you're playing Candy Crush, and you would benefit. You know, if you could satisfy my request, if you could satisfy my need, you could meet my need, you would get that hit of satisfaction that you get from playing Candy Crush. You know, Marshall Rosenberg uses the image of like a young child feeding a hungry duck. Okay, it's like it's satisfying somehow. So it's like that's a reward you want to give people. You know, so you want to let people know how it is that they can contribute to your life. So requests are beneficial. Like it's good to make requests. Even if people get suspicious, like so what? Like what are you going to do? You're going to walk around. First of all, you're denying yourself the ability to get the request met. You're denying yourself the ability to get that need met. You're denying them the chance to even know what your need is. Because, you know, sometimes people don't like hearing requests because they know they're going to fail. They know they're not going to be able to meet it. You know, if they think that you're demanding, they're going to be like, great, you know, another request. That's just setting me up to fail. But what if you made a request and it was a request they could hear? You know, something that they could hear, like, and they would hear it and be like, oh, I could actually do that. You know, it's like, because if I say to you, you know, I like, you know, I'm really in the mood for cookies, and you like, you have a bunch of cookies, you know, and let's say you have like a million cookies, or let's say you have like 500, you might say, oh, well, here, have a cookie. And it's like, it doesn't cost you anything. And yet it's like, there's a big payoff. Because you get that hit of satisfaction from being able to meet my need. So it's like that's good. You know, like I'm doing you a favor, you know, by telling you, by making the request, I am helping you understand what my needs are and giving you a chance to meet those needs. So it's important when you make a request, you know, you wanna try to phrase it in a way where it's like, yeah, the person could potentially, you know, could be something that they understand. It could be something that they could meet. You don't want to come up with a request like, hey, could you, my request is that you never, ever again forget my birthday. If you really love me, you wouldn't forget my birthday. See, that kind of thing, no, come on. That's a demand. That's not a request. What is that? You can't meet that kind of thing. Like, how do you do that? How do you do that? Somebody says, never forget my birthday again. See, in NVC, a request should be clear and present. Something that's like really obvious what it is, whether they're doing it, whether they're not doing it. And it's got to be something in the present moment, something that you do right now. It's not something like in the future, I never want you to do this thing again. You know, people make requests. It's like they use that negative kind of language. Like, I request that you don't do this thing. Sometimes that's okay, but I request that you never forget. Like, well, how do I do that? Like, let's say I wanted to do that right now. Like, okay, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to never forget. You know, there could be things. It's not that there's nothing you can do from that, because maybe you could say, well, okay, I'll write it in my calendar. I'll put it in my calendar for next year. I'll tell the Alexa, I'll tell her to remind me every year. I think she can do that. So why don't you just make that as the request? Why don't you just say, hey, could you put it in your calendar for next year? And they can say, what, are you calling me stupid? You're saying I'm forgetful? Okay. See, like you have to empathize with that, you know, because if you're not, like you have to be equipped to empathize with it. You have to be like ready for it. When you make the request, you have to be ready. Like that's the difference. Like what's the difference between a request and a demand? It's like a request. It's like you're ready to empathize with it, with the response that you get, with the rejection. So like if you want to be able to hear that. Like if I make a request and it's really a request, then I'm just as happy to hear a rejection as I am to hear an acceptance of it. I'm just as happy. Because if you reject my request, if I say, hey, I like cookies, I'm in the mood for a cookie, could I have a cookie? And you say, no, get your own. It's like, great, fantastic. Okay, like I was thinking that I was going to give you an opportunity to meet my need, but it seems, based on your behavior, that you actually have something else that's a little bit more pressing on your mind. So like I was, by making the request, I was giving you a gift. And by denying the request, you're telling me, I don't like this gift. Excellent. Like that's great information for me to have, because if my agenda is to give you a gift and to give myself a gift, now I know, okay, you don't like this gift. Great. Okay. So let me learn from that and let me try to find you something else that you're going to like, because my agenda is to give you a gift. So if you tell me that, so if you tell me, you know, get your own cookie, so now I can empathize with this. You know, I could say something, you know, are you feeling worried? You know, you're going to run out of cookies. You know, you don't have as many cookies as you thought you did. Maybe that's what's going on. You know, if that's the sense I get, then maybe say that. Or not. Doesn't really matter. Because my agenda here, it's not to convince them of anything. My agenda is simply to make a request. Initially, it's to get that request met. That's plan A. Plan B, that didn't work. Okay, fine, great, perfect. We go to plan B. Let me empathize with your response. So now it's not a demand. Now when you're looking, when you do MVC, you might say something like, well, MVC, it's like, you know, I don't want to make demands. Got to make sure I don't make demands. And that's fine. Like you're playing a game. Okay. You know, it's like you're learning a skill. So yeah, it's like as an exercise, you want to do things correctly. The thing is that you're going very close to this line of like going away from the game of who's right and going in the game of make life wonderful. And you're going into the game of who's right. So it's like, if that's what you're doing, okay, don't do that, you know? But at the same time, it's like you're still playing a game. And games have rules. So like the game is done right or wrong. It becomes pathological when you go off into like, well, I'm a bad person. Or now I'm hurting somebody. You're not hurting anybody. Like you're learning a skill. So you should practice it. Like at every opportunity you get, like it's only going to make you better at the skill. And people can kick and scream, like let them kick and scream, just let them do it. You know, it's just more opportunities to practice. Every time somebody kicks and screams, you have an opportunity to practice. This is going to be a podcast. I'm determined to make this a podcast. We'll find some good clips and we'll post them. This is right now I'm on Instagram Live. I don't think there's anybody here. I don't know why that is. I hope I have it set right. I hope this isn't like a private recording. I don't think it is. I think what it is just that, I don't know. Maybe people don't like going to lives. So I feel kind of lonely here. I feel a little bit depressed. You know, I would prefer to have an audience that's engaged. Okay. We'll do it. We'll wait. We'll wait for the audience to show up. Whenever they show up, wherever they show up. So thank you for listening if you're listening on the podcast. Let me know that you heard this, you know, because that'll give me some encouragement. And then it'll help me to know what it is that people like to hear about. Because I get frustrated sometimes when I don't know. You know, now you might hear this as a demand, as a guilt trip. Or is a cry for help. See, but well, it is a cry for help. You know, what's wrong with a cry for help? Like, why not just make a cry for help? If you want help, like make a cry for help. Like say, I'm in pain. I'm frustrated. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. Like, say these things. Like, you can't say these things. Why? Because some people will use that. They'll use it against you. You know, they'll try to bully you with it. Like, let them do that. You know? Are these the people that you want to talk with? You want to engage with these people? Like, did you start the conversation with them? Are you trying to get something from them? Is there an actual conversation you want to have with these people? If so, then, well, okay, if they're going to start bullying you, then you now need to empathize with that, because that's the only way you're going to make a connection. You can't make a connection if you're just going to shut people down. But maybe you don't want to talk to them. You know, maybe you actually have another agenda. Okay. So it doesn't really matter what you say to them. Now you might say, well, okay, well, they're bad guys. Like, they're just bullies. You know, they deserve what they get. Okay. Well, see, that's the jackal language that they call it in NVC. You know, you've got the jackal language and you have the giraffe language. The giraffe language is the NVC language. The jackal language is the more standard who's right and who's wrong language. So the whole concept of deserve, that's all a jackal thing. Okay. Now, I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to say it's bad to talk that way. There might be benefits to talking that way. Sometimes it might help you. It might work. But, I mean, you got to ask yourself, like, is this the society you want? Is this the kind of language you want? Are these the types of relationships you want where you're sitting there keeping score, trying to figure out who deserves what? You know, if there's something, it's like, you know, you have some action that you are going to take. You're going to say something to somebody. You're going to, you know, you're going to refuse a request. And you say, well, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve what you're asking for. Okay, maybe. It's up to you. Like, it's up to you if that's really the right way to look at it. You know, I mean, I'll tell you personally, like, I don't like that. I don't like to talk that way. I don't like to think in terms of what people deserve. So if I do something mean to somebody, it's never because they deserve it. If I do something mean to somebody, it's because, it's because I'm trying to do something else and they don't like it, what I'm doing, you know? So I try not to play that game. I don't play the game of who's right and who's wrong. I don't play it. Whenever I notice myself playing it, I stop playing it. I try to play the game of make life wonderful. It's a much more fun game. See, it's right in the title, you know, make life wonderful. Some people will say, well, Michael, this, you know, if you look at the video right now, because if you're listening on the podcast and you don't know what I'm doing, but I've got this little piece of foam tubing and I'm kind of like playing with it in front of the camera. Some people say, Michael, that's so unprofessional. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, well, you know, that's the who's right and who's wrong game, isn't it? Is it? See, but I think it's fun to do this. So to me, it's like, this is make life wonderful. Why not? Why not just do that? Like, what's the problem? Why not do it? I hope that there's sound. Like, there might not be any sound. Last time I went live, there was no sound. And I don't know what I did. I somehow fixed it, but I don't know how I fixed it. And I tested it beforehand, and it still, there was no sound. And today I tested it beforehand and there was sound, and but maybe there's no sound. Maybe that's why no one's here, because there's no sound. Maybe Instagram knows that this is going to be a lousy experience for people. Like, I was planning on a wonderful experience. I was planning on, like, this is going to be all this wisdom I'm going to be doling out. Like M&Ms. Here's some wisdom for you. Some wisdom for you. Gary Vee says that it's good to be an underdog. Like, it's good. It's good to be obscure for no one to know who you are. Like, that's a good thing. To be underestimated. I'm underestimated. Maybe I'm overestimated sometimes. I don't know. But I'll be underestimated, you know? Michael Corman, who's that guy? Never heard of him. Right? It's good. Like, I'm just sitting here, you know, doing my thing. Doing my thing. The two of us. Here we are. NVC. I put in the title of this, I said, becoming bulletproof, being bulletproof. You know, that's when you make a request. It's like, Making a request is a vulnerable act because it gives the other person an opportunity to deny your request. So it's like you make a request and it gets denied. Then what? It's like you ask somebody out on a date and they say no. Like that's vulnerable, you know? You might feel hurt. You might feel embarrassed. You might feel ashamed. Whatever. It's especially bad if they think of it as a demand. Back off, creep. Okay. It's like they're allowed to do that, you know? The way that you become bulletproof is you have to empathize with it. You should always empathize with it. I mean, anytime anybody says anything to you, you have to empathize at least internally. It doesn't mean you have to say anything out loud. But internally, you have to empathize with it. You must do that. Like, you have to say, like, because otherwise the thing is that if you don't empathize, some people will say, well, why? Why should I empathize with somebody, with a bully? You know, somebody who doesn't care about me. They're not going to empathize with me. Why should I empathize with them? But you got to look at, well, what's the alternative? You know, if somebody asks me out on a date, if I ask somebody out on a date and they say no, and I don't empathize with them. Let's say they say, no, you're a creep. Okay. And I hear that and I don't empathize. Like what conclusion am I going to draw from that? Like, where is my mind going to go? I'm going to start saying, am I a creep? Like, did I do something creepy? Like, that's what I'm going to start asking myself. That's not a good place to be because the answer is always going to be yes, of course. I mean, that's the reason I'm asking the question. Because there's part of me, there's part of my, you know, I've been conditioned somehow to judge myself that way. That's why I'm asking the question. If I went into Starbucks and ordered a coffee and the person behind the counter said, no, you're a creep. I'd be like, what? I'm just ordering a coffee. Like I wouldn't question myself. I wouldn't start asking, am I a creep? Like, I'd be like, did I mishear you? Like what happened? Do you actually work here? Like, I would be very confused. But if I ask somebody out on a date and they respond that way, I'm not going to be confused. Like, that's going to seem very logical to me. Like, yeah, I asked you out on a date. You called me a creep. Okay, stop. Everything has to stop. I have to go home, I have to lock myself in my room, and I have to start trying to figure out whether I'm actually a creep. That's like very, it's very like, just makes perfect sense. So yeah. Now, do I want that? Like, is that really where I want my mind to go? See, once you understand that the only reason I'm asking myself that question is because I've been conditioned to ask the question. Out of what? Out of actually, well, I want to respect the person. You know, I don't want to be a creep. I don't want women to walk around in fear all day. No, of course not. That's not why I'm asking the question. It's because I don't want to be a creep. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to be accused. I don't want to be accountable for that. I don't want to have to be subject to any sort of retaliation for that. That's why I ask the question. Okay, so that's a whole agenda that comes from my childhood. And it's all part of the game of who's right. You know, somebody, I made a request. I said, will you go out with me? And the person said, okay, stop. You are wrong. Okay, now we're playing the who's right, who's wrong game. It's a zero-sum game. There has to be a winner and there has to be a loser. You've now declared you're the winner and I'm the loser. Now, what I now have to do is I have to defend it. I have to defend myself and try to figure out a way in which you're the loser and I'm the winner. Okay. And we're just locked into this conflict immediately. So does that make life wonderful? You know, if that's the way you're going around, like, is that what you want? Is that what you want? Does that make life wonderful? Because, like, you got to really look at it. Like, like, what is that going to do to me if I sit there and I now have to spend the rest of my day, and probably not just the rest of that day, but it's probably going to be a few weeks or months, and maybe possibly years in the back of my head somewhere, where I have to now wonder if I'm actually a creep. That's what I'm now spending my time on. Like, well, what happened to my initial agenda there? The initial plan was that I was trying to go on a date. And now I'm sitting here obsessing over whether I am some kind of cartoon villain. Like, is that fun? Like, it takes a lot of time. And what is it going to do to me? Like, the next time I'm in that kind of situation, like, what am I going to do? I'm probably not going to be so forward. I'm probably going to maybe say, well, hold on. Maybe I shouldn't say anything. Maybe I shouldn't ask a question because maybe I'm going to be judged. So now suddenly this fear has just taken over the whole thing. That's not fun, in my opinion. You know, it'd be much better to say, so like, look, even though this person threw this accusation at me, they said, you're a creep. They threw it right at me. Do I, like, what if I just say, okay, got the accusation. Okay, I'm going to throw it back to you. And I'm not going to accuse you. That's not how I do it. But I'm just going to say, look, this is something you gave me. I don't want it. Okay. You know, it's just, I don't want it. And so the alternative now is that, well, what do I do? Is, okay, I'm gonna empathize with you. I'm gonna listen to what you're saying, you know. And for whatever reason, you're feeling suspicious, you're feeling annoyed, you're feeling disgusted. I don't know what it is, but something's going on there. You know, you're feeling, it could be anything. You don't know what it is just from those words. You're a creep. Like, it's because the person isn't saying anything about themselves. They're only saying something about me. So if you're only talking about me, like, what do I know about you? I don't know anything. But so, you know, so you sit there and you think, you know, you try to receive some kind of psychic download. Like, what is it? What is this person needing? Like, what are they feeling? Because maybe they are, maybe I look and I see, oh, I think they're feeling a little bit stressed out, you know? And you say, oh, I see. Like, they're probably stressed out because they were, you know, they were having a conversation on the phone and it looked like it was a serious conversation. And then I interrupted and they're just like, they're having like all this like stuff, all this commotion going on, and they don't really want to talk to me because there's something more pressing going on, and maybe that's why they're stressed out. And so they just said, you're a creep, in order to just kind of manage their stress. Okay. So it's like, I don't have to ask if I'm actually a creep, you know? If you empathize with it, then it's like, okay. See, I don't hear the thing they're saying to me. It doesn't matter what they're saying, like the words don't matter. They say, well, you should never talk to women that way. It's like, you don't have to hear that. You just don't hear it. Like, what does that mean? It's something that they say because they have a certain need and they're trying to get that need met. So when I make a request, when I put myself in a situation where I have a need and I'm like, I want this need met, then I have to be willing to empathize with whatever comes back at me when I make that request. Is anybody here in the live right now? It doesn't say that there's anybody here. This would be a good time for questions. I don't know if there's anybody watching this. So. So that's that's requests, being bulletproof. Okay. I think if there's no questions, I think we're just going to end it right here then. Okay. So thanks for joining me. This will be the end of our discussion for today about requests and being bulletproof. Nonviolent communication. Check it out if you haven't already. And if you have already checked it out, then check it out some more, because it's the kind of thing that you should spend the rest of your life practicing. There's no end to it. You don't just do a 3-hour workshop and then suddenly you're a master, black belt, NVC, martial artist. It doesn't work that way. NVC is a lifelong practice, a lifelong commitment. You have to give yourself over to it completely. Like, it's got to be like, it's like you're becoming a monk, you know, and you have to totally just like take these vows, and this is how you are from now on. This is the precepts that you have to adopt. that you speak in terms of observations, feelings, needs, requests. On a deeply energetic level, that's where it happens. It doesn't happen on the overt level, you know, because you might just sound, you might just use the same words that every other idiot out there is using. But the thing is that when you make a request, you will empathize with the response you get. When you have a need of yours that you think somebody else might be able to easily meet, you will make a request. Most people are not doing those things, but you can do them, and you will make life wonderful for everyone around you and yourself. So I hope you do that. Thank you for joining me. This has been No Michael Here, Michael Corman, Nonviolent Communication. Talk to you next time.